We're in 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, be starting at verse 17. Title is, A Time of Communion, the Lord's Supper. Today, we're looking at the Lord's Supper, the taking of communion with the Lord. We will receive some understanding and where our hearts and our minds need to be in participating in communion, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, or communion, as whatever you want to call, is a serious event for believers. It truly, truly is. And I think sometimes maybe people don't realize that. It was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ on the night before his crucifixion. So let's read where we'll be looking at it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for better, but for one worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And I believe in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink the drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About other things, I will give directions when I come. We need to remember, the church here at Corinth was probably blessed more than any church with spiritual gifts. And we'll be getting into that in about 3 or 4 weeks. But, like what has happened in a lot of churches, they've wandered. They've really wandered. So, Paul gave instructions to the church and to everybody on communion, the Lord's Supper. And he's going to start this off really quite clear. He's going to discipline the church. And he's very forceful. As I was preaching this morning, I was thinking about it and going, you know, Lord, I'm so blessed. I have a church here that none of this applies in the discipline and all this. I really felt so blessed. The people that are here love the Lord truly and seek him. And I just was like, but as we all know, as we go through scripture, We go through it all. I can't cut anything out. We've got to teach on it. And here Paul's definitely rebuking the church at Corinth, by all means. He said, right out in the opening verse of this, I do not commend you. Whoa. I would hate to be in a church and have that by the apostle himself say, hey, I don't commend you. I'd be like, uh-oh. Red flag. The church was not celebrating the Lord's Supper as it should be. They weren't doing it right. We do ours on the first Sunday of the month. It states that they're not coming together for the better. Wow, that's hard rebuking there. It's not a time to edify yourselves. We need to remember that in communion and Lord's Supper. But Paul says, it's but for the worse that you're doing this. You're breaking yourselves down here. And so he's really trying to get this church back in alignment. And he goes on from verses 18 through 22. And I'll read again because when you look at it, you got to go. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And I believe that in part. For there must be factions among you in order those who are genuine, you may be recognized. And in today's time, there's things that are done differently. Celebrating communion, or what they would call the Lord's Supper, is most churches, you have bread and a cup. Back at this time, it was a full-on meal. It was a full-on meal. And they actually called it sometimes a love feast. And that's what they would call it. And it was the same thing when Christ had his disciples up in the room. It was, they were eating a meal and doing this. Today at the church, we can see so many, and we all know this, being at different ones and what have you, a potluck or bringing a meal to share to celebrate the Lord. And we can look at the instructions on partaking of communion, and also when the church does get together for other meals, they tie in together, but it's really important that we keep focus on that communion time. The first thing that Paul does talk about is divisions. Divisions in the church. We may call them cliques. Where there, those seem to divide up people. Now, in here, it's, like I say, we're really blessed that we're a small church. Large churches can develop that easily. And I was thinking over this again this morning, how even when we have luncheons or meals or whatever, Cindy and I talk about how do we get the tables all set to where we're all at like one table. And so we try to do that because I don't want a table over there and a table over here and, you know, all over. So we're small enough, we can do that. We're all there together and it's like a family partaking in that. But when you go into the communion aspect of it, important here, hearts and minds were not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Their communion was a full meal. Our communion's done a little differently. But is our hearts and our minds on Lord Jesus when we are partaking in communion? And I want to emphasize this again. Communion is a time between you personally, yourself, and the Lord. And it needs to be understood that way. And Paul even says, he says, some sort of divisions were going on, but Paul says, I believe it in part. Well, you know how rumors and gossip can be spread? And it does happen. And maybe some of those rumors, some of that gossip could be true. But there could also be a lot that's not true. And Paul's saying, and we start developing cliques and all that kind of stuff, that's when it can really start to happen. And divisions. And they happen in every church. It's hard not to. But it does happen in every church. Now hang with me though, because there's this verse in here that you need to pick up and understand. Maybe you didn't catch it, what have you, is that God knows about that, that there can be separations there. And he uses it though for the true believers to truly stand out amongst. Look at verse 19. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. So God's going to use it in cliques and all that for people to shine, let the Lord's light shine through them and help mend and take care of things. And that's really important. Divisions, cliques, can cause the love and the truth of genuine believers to shine very brightly. I don't see that here at all. And we're a small church, and I think that's a huge benefit of having that. There is another section here where it's talking that I think we need to understand in the Lord's communion. We need to examine ourselves. We truly do. And this is, do not examine somebody else. It's examining yourselves. In writing this, man, the Lord had me searching me up and down. And I was like, okay, Lord. Here's a question that I ask myself. I just happened to add we when I went to write it out to preach. Are we loving like the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we doing that? Each one of us needs to ask that question of yourselves. Are you loving like the Lord Jesus Christ? And so I use a reference. I'm sorry we don't have the screen up here. 1 Peter 3:8. So I'll flip over there here. This may take a little longer, as we have to flip our pages, but that's okay. Maybe you can learn how to flip them faster. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. When you read that, you got to ask yourself, is that me? Am I doing that? You may say, okay, I'm doing part of it, but maybe that one word right there, or that word, I could be lacking, Lord. That's okay. Because you see it. Then you can take it to the Lord. Lord, okay, I see a fault here of mine. You got to change it. I need help. Change it for me. Change it for me. Well, then Paul goes on in 20, he says, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. Well, I believe that Paul is telling that they may be deceiving themselves. Whether they came to partake in the bread and the cup, were they thinking of themselves? When we have our communion on the first Sunday of the month, and there are times where I've been in communions, where I've been at a conference, or I've been at this or that, and there's communion, yeah. Are we thinking about ourselves in the communion? Are our thoughts and our hearts on the minds of Lord Jesus Christ? That's a question for you. Look at James 1:22. James 1:22 states, but be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. So are we doing what Scripture says, or are we just hearing it? Is it penetrating? So what I can see too is, I wondered with us and with anybody, when we partake in communion, and I say this again, it is a relationship between you alone and God. When the bread is passed out, or when the cup is passed out, and you have it in your hand, thank you, Lord. Well, let me give you a clue. If your eyes are wide open, you're not 100% on the Lord. When you go into prayer, When you're praying unto God, it's not like talking to the Lord. Just like I was talking to the Lord, hey, Lord, help me find a place to park. I'm talking to him. When I'm going into prayer, you got to be 100% focused on God. When you're partaking in communion and cup, that is a special event for believers only. And it is so that you can have that relationship. Your eyes need to be closed and focused. You don't want any distractions. Things can happen outside, distract you. Things can be in here, somebody can move their hair or whatever, and it can distract. So we need to understand, where is our heart and our mind during communion? When we do that once a month or however often we may do it. Now, what was happening back there at Corinth at this church, verse 21, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. At this period in church, back at this time, this was the early church, they would have a full-blown meal. Full-blown meal. So if you were to take a large body church and they're having a full-blown meal and they're participating in Lord's Supper, communion today is different, and I see that. But there are times that we have meals after church, potlucks, and other churches do meals also. We need to be something I continue to say, others-centered. Because we want to be showing the love of Christ. All people in this church are so unbelievably loving in blessing others. You know how many times I've heard, man, I made this. I know everybody loves this. And I'll go, yeah, I know I will. I like food. That's a problem I have, which I'm trying to take care of. But people will bring food because they're wanting to bless somebody. Hey, this is really good. I like this. I want to bless them. I love that. I love that. And I see that in our body here. Some people are really good at cooking different things and making. What a blessing that is. But here at this church in Corinth, and like I see too, if you notice, we never have a lack of food. We don't. It's always being given away and taken home by people or what have you. Is that this church, they're staying in their little group. Now, I understand big churches, you have that. But they're staying in the group, and whatever food they brought, that's what they were eating. There was not sharing, and you had people were getting neglected. And people would be off the side and drinking. No, never. That is 100% wrong. Alcohol is not even allowed on this campus, period. For no reason. I'll just say that. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is so wrong. And even in today's societies, they have a different approach. You know, I worked construction for a lot of years. And guys would tell me Christmas Eve, and I remember telling me this, and I think they looked at me like I was, because I was like, what? Christmas Eve, they would go to the midnight or the service, and then all would go over to somebody's house, and they'd spend the night and get drunk all till the next morning. No, we're celebrating our Lord. Why would anybody do that? What was happening here was sort of like that. Go off to the side and drink and do whatever. That's not for fellowship of believers at all. This was not partaking in the bread and the cup of the Lord, in celebrating the Lord. We're to celebrate the Lord. What was happening, I looked at it and I go, evil, selfishness, indulgent, with no regard to the Lord. That's why I say, I had to write this, I had to preach this. I was so praising God because I don't see that in this church. I don't see that amongst a single person here. It's such a blessing for me. I thank Lord. I'm glad I get to be a shepherd here, Lord. This is cool. I don't want to fight dissensions and troubles. But Paul tells him in verse 22, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you on this? No, I will not. Paul's disciplining. He's laying the law down right now with the church. He's laying the hammer down. Eating drink at your own houses instead of doing this worldly stuff at the church when you're supposed to be celebrating the Lord. The church is a place of worship. Everything that we do in this church is one form or another of worshiping God. Whether it's in prayer, whether it's in song, whether it's in studying His Word, whether it's in the fellowship. I always invite the Lord into all our conversations to worship Him. I love it when we get together. I truly do. And we're worshiping the Lord in song and prayer and study. I loved it. And then afterwards to go over there and God's in our conversation and in our midst. And we're eating and having a blast. Enjoying one another's company, I think, is so blessed. Folks, we're going to be seeing each other in heaven. Forever. You may think, oh, really? No, I'm just teasing there. With the Lord present with us, our conversations and what we're doing, it's blessed. Because we want the Lord with us. Now, Paul then goes into, and this is where I think we really need to look at the directions. He gets a direct revelation from God on communion. In verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." So what he got from the Lord, he's given it to the church. "That the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So you say, oh yeah, that's communion. That's what we do. Well, let's break it down a minute. Let's take a really look at what God told Paul to tell the church. He opens it up and he says, first of all, this is a direct revelation. God to him, speaking clearly. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took bread. So he takes this bread. And you can picture that. They're going to have this meal. He takes the bread. And he held it in his hand. The bread he uses is a symbol to represent his body. Now, I have heard some churches say that it is actually the body of Christ. No, it is not. It is a symbol. Here's the bread. He's standing there. His body's right there. Here's the bread. It's a symbol. So it's not his physical body. It's a symbol of his body given. And that's sometimes what we need to understand in that. It is not Christ's body itself, it's just a symbol. The bread represents his body given for man. Now, and you have to ask yourself, why are we to partake in that bread, the communion bread? And the bread that we give here at the communion, we try to make it exactly how they made it back then. Okay? Is the reason the bread is given is to what? Do this in remembrance of me. To remember Jesus. To remember Jesus and what he did for you. Now, what's important here is that's why I say when we're partaking is, remember what Jesus did for you? He died for you. That's why I say, hey, it's a time between you and the Lord. He loved you so much that he died for you. You need to be focused in communion 100% on him. Not on anybody else, what's going on. on Christ. Your heart and mind has to be there. You can't be just drifting your mind out. But notice when he goes into the blood also here, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Okay. Jesus did not say, this is my blood. The cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is a symbol of the new covenant. The blood that he shed. It is here, the cup and all that is the new covenant. Aren't we so glad we have the new covenant? You bet. Was in the cup, and the cup itself represented the new covenant. He was establishing a new covenant right then. And what was in the cup represented his blood. Not his physical blood, represented it. And he does say to do it often. Some churches, like us, do it once a month. Some do it every other week. Some do it quarterly. Whatever. But do it often. We celebrate communion on the first of every month. This is what the Lord has led me to do. Okay, and he'll take this pastor and lead him to do it a different way, or that one a different way. And it's always been, remember me, Jesus. Remember me. It's about Jesus. He established the new covenant. He is it. Now I want you to understand that when you go into that communion time, and Easter we'll be having communion. It's the first Sunday of the month. This involves more than just remembering his death. And I want to pound this in. It also wants to remind you of, think of the person, Jesus himself. How much he loves you. To dwell and meditate on Christ. What a wonderful Savior we have. Thank you. Not in my notes or your notes. I'm going to give you something that he's got laid on my heart. When we think about Christ and thinking of the person of him, he laid on my heart Hebrews 7:25 right now. And this is what it says. Consequently, he is able to save to the utmost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Why does Christ live? To make intercessions for you, for me. You want to talk about love? You want to talk about why I say during that communion have that relationship, that personal mind 100% sold out on thinking on him? His whole being is to make intercessions and think about you. That's amazing to me. That kind of love cannot be measured. That's beyond anything we could comprehend. He lives and you put your name in. John, Christ lives to make intercession for you. Gary, he does it to you. Sandra, he does it for you. You got to stand back and go, what do you say? Thank you. All this was done, partaking of communion, because God was setting aside the Old Testament covenant. And he was establishing a new covenant with his people. The basis of the new covenant, the basis, is the blood of Christ. Not the blood of the bulls, the goats, and all the other sacrifices. If you want to turn with me into Hebrews 9, 13 through 15, I will read that. 9:13 through 15. Thus it says, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without a blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Wow, he did that for you, for me. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, he goes on in verse 26, for it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, we do it once a month, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The reason for the Lord's Supper, communion, was to proclaim. It says to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. To proclaim. Now, I use an ESV version. Proclaim here, the actual Greek word that is used means proclaim or preach or announce. So we are to proclaim, we're to preach, we're announce the Lord's death until he comes. All of us. All of us are to do this. So when you think about that, we're to always be proclaiming that, especially during communion, his death, the Lord. The Lord's Supper, to me, when you look at it that way, is not only a picture, it's a sermon also. We're proclaiming it. We're preaching it. So it's both a picture and a sermon, the communion. Christ died that we may have eternal life with him. You want to know how much Jesus loves you? He loves you so much he wants you to have eternal life with him forever. We're to proclaim Christ and his death until he returns. Then we're going to be with him. What an absolute honor and a blessing that communion time is to be. Then he goes on and he says, as we look at the last sections, 27 through 30 here, he lays down some rules. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. So here we go. So participating in communion in an unworthy manner, there's consequences. There's consequences. To come to the Lord's Supper in a sinful way is sinning against the body and blood of Christ. The church at Corinth were partaking in the Lord's Supper with division in the body, selfishness, indulgence, drunkenness, neglecting others. So we need to look at also unconfessed sins. You know, when I say they're handing the bread out, Dave's giving it to you, ask for forgiveness for sins that you know about and even the ones you don't know about. Lord, if there's sins that I'm doing, I ask for forgiveness and help me. We need to do this because consequences. Consequences here. We need to also look at ourselves of things that are in the heart and the mind. Is our heart and our mind lined up pretty good or not? We're to walk with Christ. We're to walk in his righteousness, because understand, when we walk in his righteousness, we have no righteousness on our own. The only righteousness we have is in Christ Jesus. When we partake in communion, we need to confess and repent of our sins and praise him. Praise him. Exalt him so much for his love, for his grace, for his mercy, for his forgiveness. This is what Paul's talking about in verse 28. Examine ourselves. Do not examine somebody else. Examine ourselves. Take a look at ourselves and say, whoa, Lord, what areas need help? And we all know ourselves pretty well. Lord, I do this. I need help. Help me, Lord. Communion, I think, is a time that we need to understand. If we don't do it, what's it say? Judgment's coming. God's going to judge us. Communion is serious. It is not a time to drift off, think, okay, this and I'm out of here. We're not to take communion lightly. Not at all. Examine your heart. Test your attitude of your heart. And that I was going to 2 Corinthians 13:15 for me, please. I know you can't put it up there. That's 13, excuse me, 2 Corinthians. My pages are sticking. Sorry, folks. 2 Corinthians 13, what did I say? 15, I think. Yeah, 13, no, 13:5, excuse me, I'm sorry. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. They're telling us, hey, check yourself on this. Test yourself. Are you walking in the faith? It's not something done very lightly. Verse 30, Paul goes on, and what's he say? This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. So this has evidently been happening there at that church. What the Corinthians were doing was so severely bad, God had to discipline them. God had to. Some became sick because of the discipline. Some even died. Because of the discipline, excuse me. God, I want us to understand, He does discipline His children. We've had to discipline our own children. It's not a fun thing to do. But we've had to do that. God disciplines His children because He loves them, just like us. He loves us. And that's why He'll discipline us. But I want us to understand, God disciplines us to prevent us from hurting ourselves or others. We could be going down a wrong road and He says, I got to take care of this. We could be allowing situations or attitudes or whatever starting to affect. He's going to discipline us. Why? To stop it for our own benefit. God is amazing when you think about it. He created us, and He created each one of us individually, and He created each one of us perfectly for Him. So He knows what kind of discipline to use on us that will cause His child to snap out of it. Wake up, confess, and repent. Hey, whoa, I better. Look at Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. These guys should know where Hebrews is right now. 12, 5 and 6. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons, or put in their children? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the ones He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. So when you say, why is this happening to me? Because God loves you. And He's trying to stop you going down this road or that road or whatever needs to happen. He loves you that much. We need to look and examine ourselves. And I think that's a key point today, is looking at ourselves and examining ourselves. Confess our sins. It's you and the Lord. Nobody has to know anything but you and the Lord. The Lord already knows about it. Confess those sins. And if the Lord disciplines you, repent. Repent. And if you look at verse 33, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Wait for one another. In other words, serve one another. Serve one another. I sat back and I go, so many times here at this body, I just see people, well, I'll get you this, I'll get you that. Here, let me take this. It's like, Lord, it's a blessing. We're blessed here. And I was just praising him this morning, thinking about that. But in writing this, we got to also remember not to be selfish and indulging ourselves, right? We're to lift up others. Love others and put them first. And that's important. And I understand, because we all go through trials. We really do. Come to the Lord's table with repentance. I'll say it again. Come to the Lord's table with repentance and praise. Because what we're going through, and every one of us go through tough, tough times. It doesn't matter who you are. And it can be very tough. But I want to remind you, we have eternal life with God. We have it now. We have it now. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:17. Come on, pages. 4:17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Notice how it says a light, eternal, or a light, momentary affliction. Whatever trial we're going through, it can be absolutely brutally hard, and it can seem that way. But then here's where they do the comparison. As really bad as it is, how great and awesome is that glory that we will have. And you know, I can say this only because what scriptures say. When you're going through the worst trial or situation in your life and you think it's horrible, I'll be there with you, I'll pray with you. But I want us to understand, when we're in heaven, you're going to look at, boy, that was nothing. You will, because what scripture says, because of the glory coming. We'll share in the Lord's glory. That's amazing, folks. That's amazing. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you and thank you, Lord. Lord, your word is so blessed. And we are so blessed because we have your word. We have you, Jesus. Lord, how can we thank you so much? Lord Jesus, you live to intercede for us. This is amazing, Lord. Lord, your instructions are clear. And Lord, plant them in our hearts. Plant them in our minds. And Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We worship you, God. We ask that you would bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Cindy, come forward. Yeah, the worship team, come forward.